All right, we are in Mark chapter number 1, and kind of going through a little series here, the Gospel according to Mark. Amen. Fabulous, fabulous. Just a time so far in this first chapter, and we've seen some different things with the healings, different things that Christ has done, and drawing attention to the reality that Jesus is over these things. And so you can't heal disease if you're not over disease. You can't command these things to take place, to include the devil's demons, all that we saw already that knew him. And then Jesus had power over them. And if you have power over them, then you're above them. You're at a level that is not subjected to them. Amen. But over them. And so that's a blessing. We're learning much about Jesus Christ. The people in Jesus's day also were learning much about him. And we come to chapter 1, verse number 40, and there is a leper. Now, I mentioned a leper last week. It was more in reference to the lepers. I think it was in Luke 17. There was 10 that were healed, one returned, and we just mentioned that last week in reference to the message. This today is... It's going to really be the thrust of the message in reference to this one, this leper that came to him. It's a different account than what we see recorded in Luke 17. This is in Mark 1. This is very, very early on in the ministry here of Christ, whereas the other is later on in Christ's ministry there in Luke 17. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, the Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, we know that Jesus is making quite a stir in Israel in this time. Amen. And so much so, the diseased are beginning to seek him out. Those that have no other hope. We'll find later on that some have spent all their living on the doctors and no one's been able to help, and they're seeking him out. Some are troubled with a spiritual infirmity. Others are lame or not able to speak, or all these different things are happening, not able to see, and Jesus heal them. But here we find, in this case, we have a leper, and he is seeking out Jesus Christ. I made mention last week that leprosy in that day was not curable. And I looked up a little bit on that just to kind of give you a thought on how long it was until there was a treatment even. I mean, there's always been people trying different things, but it wasn't until 1873 that a gentleman in Norway discovered the cause of leprosy and named it Mycobacterium leprea. Amen? And so up until the late 1800s, they didn't even know the bacterium that was actually causing the disease, which is interesting. Now, it says that this was the first bacterium to be identified as causing disease in humans. And so leprosy was still an issue then. It's still an issue today around the world. Not as much here, but it is around the world. Definitely still an issue. And it says from the 19th century, European nations adopted some practices of India and China, administering naturally occurring oils to deal with it. Says they were given by injection and orally and were believed to cure some people, but the results were often disputed. In other words, it wasn't real effective. It wasn't until the 1940s that the first effective treatment, they named it Promin, became available, and there's some other anti-leprosy drugs. And since that time, two others have really come out that have kind of been risen. And now there's like a threefold approach called MDT regimen that's actually used around the world today to actually deal with leprosy. And they're having good results in fighting leprosy off. Now, we know that leprosy, the symptoms are rather severe. And they say that if you end up contracting leprosy and leave it untreated, it takes between 5 and 20 years to actually be fatal. And so you can actually be suffering from the symptoms of leprosy for quite a long time. And so I want to give you just some of those causes or symptoms, because what we're finding in the Bible, when the Bible discusses and deals with leprosy, it is a type of sin. And so much like we can even look at cancer today, look at all different things, we can say, you know what? And there are some Greek words on that would indicate it's definitely similar to a kind of a cancer, if you will, that takes root, and how it does and how it spreads. But leprosy, definitely very early on, God has used it in the scriptures as a way to kind of show us how sin works and different things. And so leprosy is a type then of sin, if you will. And so this disease, as stated as far as symptoms, says it causes symptoms such as discolored patches of skin, usually flat, that may be numb and look faded. Now, I'm not telling you these so that you can say, oh man, I think I got that, amen? Because you know, you go scouring the internet for different symptoms of things. If you hang out on WebMD, amen, and before you know it, man, you got every known disease known to man, amen? Because there's a lot of different symptoms that overlap and all that. And so please, if you have a little bit of a discoloration patch or different things and all that, you don't necessarily have leprosy, amen? I'm just trying to say. And so anyway, also growths or nodules on the skin, thick, stiff or dry skin, painless ulcers on the soles of feet, painless swelling or lumps on the face or earlobes, loss of eyebrows or eyelashes. Okay, just checking. Symptoms caused by damage to the nerves are, so that would be the skin symptoms, and then there are the neurological or nerve type symptoms. Numbness of affected areas of the skin, muscle weakness or paralysis, especially in the hands and feet, enlarged nerves, especially around the elbow and knee area and the sides of the neck, eye problems that may lead to blindness when facial nerves are affected. Is anybody starting to sweat thinking, oh man, I'm real, anybody like, good. I was telling my kids about a little song I learned earlier in life. Leprosy, all my skin is falling off of me. I'm not half the man I used to be. Oh, how did I get leprosy? So that's just a little cute thing just to kind of understand kind of where the symptoms are, amen. Symptoms caused by the disease in the mucous membranes are a stuffy nose and nosebleeds. Now, it says if left untreated, the signs of advanced leprosy can include paralysis and crippling of the hands and feet, shortening of toes and fingers due to reabsorption, chronic non-healing ulcers on the bottoms of your feet, blindness, loss of eyebrows, nose disfigurement. Other complications that may sometimes occur are painful and tender nerves. I think of that like a neuropathy. Redness and pain around the infected areas, burning sensation in the skin. So that's leprosy. And it's been around for a long, long, long time. Now, obviously, when someone is sick with a disease like this, coping with this disease and trying to figure out a cure becomes a top priority. Amen. And so when we read our text and we find in Mark 1:4, it says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Understand that this one in this text that had leprosy, he was an outcast, because we're going to find that in the scriptures, you got banished from the city. You weren't allowed to be a part because it could spread. You couldn't be in general society. And this issue that he had became forefront in every aspect of his life. Not only did he have to deal with the symptoms of it that were physically dealing with him, but there was also emotional distresses because of it, spiritual distresses because of it. Just the environment, not just the environment of what was just affecting him, but just the people, how they treated him, everything. Couldn't hold a job. I mean, you couldn't progress financially, on and on and on. You couldn't really even have a house to stay because of all these things. And so no doubt when we read this text and it says there came a leper to him, unless you understand some of these things about what it meant to be a leper in that day, then you're going to read this casually and not really think a whole lot about it. But understand that this, to have leprosy, to know you're a leper, and for everybody else to know and to begin to have symptoms, this is a tremendously huge deal to this individual and those around him.
Notice that when the leper approached Jesus, it was not a casual approaching. It was not a standoffish encounter. It was not that Jesus stood, that the leper stood there and didn't make a stir in hopes that Jesus would notice him. No, this leper absolutely knew that there was no other hope for him unless some miracle worker could happen by and he could get their attention. And that's who he saw Jesus as. Amen. Now, the leper, by the text, the leper beseeched Christ, which means he begged. He was begging Christ for help. Amen. By the very fact that he was begging, all pride was erased. He had nothing holding him back, nothing to lose. He didn't care what people thought about him because they already hated him. They already put him at the bottom of the list. Amen. He beseeched Christ. He begged Christ. He knelt down before Christ. What a position of humility. He was focused on Christ, not allowing others to distract him. I'm sure others hated the fact, if they were around, that he was even approaching Christ at all. He entered into a realm that he should not have been. He was not supposed to be approaching people. He was supposed to be staying far from people. And yet he was even willing to break the rules, amen, just to get to this one who might be able to help him. He then said to Jesus, "If thou wilt." He didn't say, "If you're able." He knew. He believed he was able. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The response of Jesus is very telling as to this leper's demonstration. Look at verse number 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, brought forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus, moved with compassion on this man's condition. It was obvious that this man's visage and his appearance and everything about him and his begging, if you will, and the words he said and the whole condition actually moved Jesus to compassion. I am so thankful today that Jesus has compassion on our infirmities. He knows how we feel. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what's going on. And when we cry out to him in distress and beseech him, I am glad that Jesus cares. I'm glad that this passage is here. This event is recorded for us so that we know that even those with diseases as bad as leprosy, that Jesus had compassion on this man. Jesus also, it notes here, at least it's insinuated, that he was not afraid of the disease. It wasn't like Jesus said, "Whoa, there's this leprous man coming." No, he wasn't afraid. Now, others would have been doing that. This leper would have been coming in and be like a force field around, and they'd be keeping their distance, staying clear. Forget the 6-foot rule. There was probably about a 60-foot rule, amen. They didn't want anything to do with this leprous man because there was no cure. And for someone to get leprosy in that day, it wasn't just some sniffles and a headache, amen, and different things like that. It's something that would not just go away. It would totally consume your life, and you would then reap the repercussions of it until the day that you would die with it. There was no cure for leprosy. We find that Jesus then spoke the words, "I will, be thou clean." And can I say that's all it took? And can I say also, in our own lives, all it takes for the Lord to do a work in your life is for you to believe and for Jesus to speak. That's all it takes, amen. Whatever your condition is, "Oh, I got this condition. Oh, thou of little faith," amen. You submit that condition to the Lord. You believe in what he can do, amen. And then you leave the speaking of the word to him. Oh, that we would get back to the place in our day and age that you and I, as Bible believers, amen, would believe like this leper believed. That we would approach God like this leper approached God. And that we would lose the defeatist mentality. And that we would stop being depressed and despondent, amen. And that we would stand up and just trust Jesus once again. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in our lives, amen. But we would approach God like this leper approached God. Now, we find the result of this leper approaching Christ and Christ saying those words, I will be thou clean. Look at verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. When you get a miraculous healing from Jesus, amen, it is immediate. Even, I love the pastor says, even the winds and the waves obey him. I'll give you one better, not better than that, but you'll see what I'm saying in a minute. Even the bacteria obey him, amen. It ain't just the winds and the waves. It ain't just the people. It ain't just this and that. It's the bacteria. Even the bacteria. For this man to be healed, the bacteria had to leave this man's body. And the molecules that make up his body had to listen and then restore themselves like that. Isn't that amazing? Think about what took place physiologically in that day for this man to be healed immediately. In the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin, as mentioned a moment ago. Like marriage is typified through Christ's relationship with the church, and like Moses, turn over to John 3, I'll show you another type. Like Moses in lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, this is a type of how Christ will be lifted up on the cross. These are what types are. I just want to show you how the language is used in John in reference to that, where you can kind of pick out these things like this. And it's not just in this context or in this way. You'll see them throughout the Word of God. But in John 3, verse 14, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the situation in this text from John 3 was looking back, I believe, to Numbers 22. And it was when Israel, in their disbelief, in their murmuring, in their complaint, can I say, nothing good is going to come your way if you're just a murmuring, complaining, down and outer, amen. He could do nothing there because of their unbelief, amen. We are not unbelievers. We are believers, amen. And we have faith. We don't doubt, amen. We trust in the living God, amen. And it's about time that our world sees some people rise up and say, I don't care what's going on in my life. I trust Jesus. I know he has me here for a purpose. I know I'm going to go through hard times. I'm in this sin-cursed world. Problems may come, but Jesus is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to live that way every day till our breath is taken from us. Amen. And we go to glory. God forbid that anybody would ever look at us. Amen. And use us as a reason to be a doubter or an unbeliever. Amen. People ought to look at us and see something different about us because of our faith in God that totally goes beyond the physical. We believe in the miraculous, supernatural hand of God in our lives. Amen. And people should see that about us. This leper displayed it. In this thing here with Moses, the rod, Jesus was... led Moses in that day, no doubt, in the triune aspect of God, led Moses in that day to take a serpent, a brazen serpent, and lift it up on a pole. And he said to the people, for all of you that are getting bit by the fiery serpents, literal fiery serpents, and dying, if you'll just look up at this brazen serpent that Moses is holding by the direction of God, if you'll just look at it, you'll live. Do you know many people in that day refused to look? I can't believe that. Do you know many people in our day are refusing to look to Jesus? There is no difference. That's what a type is. The same people today that refuse to look to Jesus are the same people in that day that refuse to look at the brazen serpent on the pole that Moses held up. Amen. You say, it would have been so easy to look to that brazen serpent. Can I say it is so easy to look to Jesus today? It's so easy. The work's been done. It's already been accomplished. Jesus has already been high and lifted up. He's done the work on the cross, went through the grave. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It is so easy to look to Jesus today. Just like that. That's a type, you see. Well, leprosy also is a type. Look over at Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. And Leviticus is a book that basically gave direction to the priests, the Aaronic priesthood, the priests after Aaron, God gave them direction on how to respond to things, do things, sacrifice, just there was a whole host of things. The priests had a lot of jobs in that day that they could do in reference to pronouncing and administering what was called cleanliness, or to be clean over something. And that cleanliness had a physical aspect to it. Like if you were unclean, you couldn't enter into the temple. And so there were things you couldn't do spiritually if you were deemed unclean by the priest. If you were deemed unclean by the priest, you couldn't make an offering. You couldn't enter the temple. There are certain people couldn't do certain things with you. You were unclean. Like with the leper, if you were deemed unclean as a leper, the people couldn't have any interaction with you. You were totally cut off. You were banished from the city. Watch this. Leviticus 13, verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now, the reason for this is that the priest, God directed the priest to make sure that it was evident that these people were unclean. Can I say today, let me ask you this question. Do you think anybody in that day that wasn't a leper and that wasn't pronounced unclean by the priest as a leper, do you think anybody in that day was running around with their clothes ripped, their head bare, a covering on their upper lip and crying unclean? Do you think there were a bunch of people that thought it was funny and thought, I'm not a leper, but I'm going to run around and dress like a leper and act like a leper, look like a leper, and scare people like a leper? You think there was anybody like that in that day? Why is it in our day then people are running around looking like the world in our day? Why is it that a bunch of young people that say they're Christians want to run around with the ripped clothes, buying ripped clothes? Hello? Buying ripped clothes. I understand your clothes get ripped because you caught on a nail while you're working. Fine. But this generation is buying the ripped clothes and thinking they're cool. You're not cool. You're acting like a leper. Ripped clothes, the covering on the upper lips, all tatted up, pierced out, everything else, just like the world. Amen. Why do you want to act like a leper if you're not a leper? Amen. And it's about time that you and I, that are people of the book and people of faith, amen, stop trying to act like a leper. Amen. Not that you are, just in case. Amen. So we find that that's what they'd have to do. Verse 46, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. Look, it goes on to say, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Can I say, he was alone from amongst the clean, but he was with the other lepers. They had leper communities, and it was all lepers. But even with that, they were alone in reference to being amongst the living, the clean, those that could navigate life and enjoy life and have relationships and everything else. They were alone from that. They were separated from that. They were lepers, you see. Leprosy infects the whole body of a person. People weren't just lepers in their hands and feet. They were lepers in their whole body. Early leprosy causes a numbness around the sores. I'll liken some of these things unto sin. Sin, leprosy is a type of sin. Can I say sin affects your whole person? A lot of people feel like that you can sin a little bit here, and then you can still be Mr. or Mrs. Joe or Josephine Christian. Amen. It just doesn't work that way. Amen. Sin affects the whole person. It affects everything about our lives. Amen. Early leprosy causes numbness. Can I say early sin causes us to be numb too? When you choose to live in any degree of sin, it causes you to be calloused. It causes you to become numb to the working, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. This is that still small voice that we want to be loud in our lives, and we don't want it to be diminished at all. But if you begin messing around with sin as a Christian, then you start to become numb to the things of God. You become numb to people in your lives, like the preachers and others that are trying to get your attention. You become numb and you become callous to those things, and you don't listen because you don't feel anything from that anymore. That's a result of sin. Just like leprosy, it's also like sin. Early leprosy caused muscle weakness. Can I say sin causes weakness in Christians? So weak they can't witness. What a plague today that the majority of Christians, if God brought them a lost person right to their nose, the majority of Christians today would not know how to lead that person to salvation. God forbid. What is wrong with us when we as God's people don't even know enough of what we say happened to us that we can lead somebody to Christ? Not that God would bring someone to you if you're not able. Do you see the plight and how we're in a similar condition in our world today? Muscle weakness, if you're a Christian today, can I say if you're lost, all these things still apply. You're numb, you're weak, but this also can apply, I believe, to a Christian. Muscle weakness. As leprosy advances, it affects the nervous system of a person so that nerve endings are tender. A lot of nerve endings on the surface of people's lives that are there to be touched today. You pushed my button. Get that thing below the surface. Amen. Don't let that thing be out there. Amen. That hurt my feelings. What? Why are you feeling so close to the surface? Amen. Stop it. With sin, sin brings the nerve endings to the surface. Now, every little thing bothers us. You see, leprosy and sin are very similar. Leprosy is in the blood of a person as it affects their life, because life is in the blood. Leprosy changes the visage of a person. Interestingly enough, for leprosy, it disfigures their nose. It causes people to know whose team you are on just by the condition of your nose. That's interesting. Right there in the center of your face. Whoop, 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 I'm a leper. Whoop, whoop, I'm a sinner. Isn't that interesting? You know, when someone's not happy, you might hear the expression, they turn their nose in the air. They look down their nose at that person. Isn't that amazing? All the different phrases in reference to our nose? Huh, interesting. You know that our countenance, the center focus of that being our nose, our countenance says a lot about us, doesn't it? It sure does. Well, leprosy affected the visage. It affected the very center of their visage, the nose. It also caused their eyes to swell. Puffy eye syndrome. Don't look like you've been getting much sleep lately. Your eyes are all puffy, right? What's that mean? You troubled with something? Something going on in your life? Y'all stressed out? Can't. Your eyes are telling. Leprosy affected their eyes. It caused their eyebrows to fall out. Man, people look strange when if their eyeballs are missing, they look really strange. If their eyebrows are missing, they look strange too. Amen? I mean, if you went home and shaved your eyebrows off, please don't do that. You would look strange, right? We all agree. Well, with this disease that causes their eyebrows to fall out, it affected their countenance. It affected their face. Interesting thing about this disease, The areas that it affected the most were the hands, the feet, and the face. Their earlobes were affected. Is that interesting? Their hands, their feet, and their face. This sin affected. Amen. Leprosy caused premature aging of a person as it dried them up. It caused their skin to get hard. It's going to take more than lotion, amen, to fix that. Leprosy is painful. Can I say sin? Did you ever see the faces of meth online? If you have any thought of ever going down the idiotic road of meth or any other drug, I encourage you. Here's what happens though: when you're in a particular sin, you won't search it out at all. You won't, because it's your God. All you would do is pet it. Oh, you're a little shin. You support it, lift it up, and pet it, and put it back in your pocket. Don't anybody touch it. I'm going to protect it. I would encourage you, if you're involved in any sin, start researching it. The Bible says about adultery: the one that commits adultery wrongeth his own soul. Do you think people that are getting ready to commit adultery are thinking about that? No. They're thinking about, oh, I can't stand my spouse, and I this, and I that, and I feel justified. No. And then they go off and do it and wrong their own soul in the process. If they would just have looked into it a little bit before it, study to show yourself approved unto God. Check these things out before you go rob a bank and you think that's how, it's the best way for me to get some money is to go rob some bank. You better be careful and do some studying on what happens to the thief. Before you think the best answer is cheat on your test, before you think that, you better do some research on the fact that lying is spoken very badly against in the Word of God. And the ramifications. Before you as a parent start thinking you're going to be nice to your kid and not punish them, you better study the Bible on what's going to happen to your children. Do you see what I'm saying? On and on and on and on. If we would just search the scriptures. You see, and so we see the likeness here. Leprosy is painful. The way of the transgressor's heart. Sin is painful. If you think the answer is sin, you're in for a long, hard, painful road. Because sin is painful. Right now, I think it's my best option. You're a fool. You're thinking very short-sighted. You're not thinking long haul here at all. You have no eternal outlook. If you think sin is the way to go, well, they really hurt my feelings. So I'm bitter. Are you crazy? Do you realize what bitterness does to a person and all those around you? Thereby, many shall be defiled, and it'll be the people you think you love. And you're going to allow for that in your life? An offense? A bitterness? Are you kidding me? Have you studied what the root of bitterness does? Do you see what I'm saying? If we would just stop and research these things and find out what God says beforehand, maybe that'll be the wisdom that'll keep us out of trouble. But once you go down that road, once the leprosy was started in a person, there was no cure. Unless Jesus happened by, there was no cure. And can I say, once sin happens by and you grab hold of it, there is no cure except Jesus. Except Jesus. Well, I'll just try harder. You'll dig a deeper hole. All you'll do is dig that hole deeper. I'll do this, I'll do that. You can't do it. You can't fix your problem. Only Jesus can, you see. Leprosy is painful. Leprosy attacks the walk of a person by targeting the bottom of his feet. If you get leprosy, you're known just by your walk. And can I say, the sinner's known by his walk too. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. If you just show me five of your closest friends, I'll tell you how you are spiritually right now. If you just say, these are my five... Two. If you show me these are my two, you got one. If you say this is my closest friend, I'll tell you where you're at spiritually. Why, you're judging me. No, I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm just trying to live in such a way that I'm not trying to call truth error and error truth. I'm just trying to be honest with the scriptures. Amen. Leprosy affects our walk. Sin affects our walk. We find that leprosy affects the sight of a person by targeting their eyes. You know, once you go down the road of sin, man, does it change how you see things. It changes how I see things. Anytime that I've been involved in sin, all of a sudden now things look differently. Is that amazing? Leprosy affects a person's sight. It causes their eyes to be clouded and the puffiness. It obscures vision. Can I say sin does the same exact thing? We know leprosy causes a burning sensation in the skin. A burning sensation. When something is burning, it drives us crazy. We want to extinguish the burn. We want to get rid of that sensation. And can I say, as sin gets rooted, it'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you insane. It'll need maintained. It'll need dealt with. It'll cause you to fret. It'll take away your sleep. It'll need itched. It'll need scratched. It'll need everything from you, amen. That's where sin leads. Ultimately, there is a burning of sin in a person's life that will ultimately consume them in hell, though I believe this burning is not referring to that necessarily. Advanced leprosy causes paralysis of the hands and feet. It is by our hands and feet that we function. What would we be physically in society without our hands? Would you be able to do the job that you do without your hands and feet? There are people in our society that have lost their hands and feet. But I'm asking you individually, what about you? Would you be able to function as you do right now physically without your hands and feet? I venture to say all of us would be greatly hindered. It would change everything. The advanced stages of leprosy took their ability away to walk, to get around with their own feet. Advanced stages of leprosy would cripple up their hands so that they couldn't even really feed themselves. They couldn't even brush their, if they had toothbrushes, amen. I don't know how they did it, amen. They couldn't even really take care of themselves, groom themselves. They couldn't bathe right. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't work. They couldn't, because their hands were shriveled up and they were non-functioning and they hurt. There's burning sensations. There was weird because there was numbness where the sores were, but where there wasn't sores, it was burning. So you have numbness and burning and crippled and all of this. This is what leprosy did, and this is what sin does. It totally cripples us from doing anything good. It keeps us from going where we should go with our feet and doing what we should do, taking our hands, which should be productive for God. Sin totally disables us. See, you can see why it is said that leprosy is a type of sin. As I mentioned a minute ago, the only cure for leprosy was Jesus Christ. There were a lot of lepers in Jesus' day. In this case, this one's the only one that came. And really, throughout the scriptures, only a few came. Only a few came to be healed. Why? To be healed of leprosy, you had to first come to Jesus. Jesus wasn't knocking on doors saying, "Hello, are you a leper? Hello, are you a leper? Hello, are you a leper?" Now, I'm not against door knocking in our day looking for the modern day lepers, but I'll be honest, whether we do or not, it is on them to look up and see God and search Him out. Amen. I don't believe it's on us to chase them down. Though we ought to shout it from the housetop, and though we ought to make it very easy for them if they'll come, it's not on me to go find them. Though I will. I will go out in hedges and highways. I'll compel them to come in, but I'm not going to drag them in. Nowhere have I been told to drag anybody around. Amen. To be healed of leprosy, you had to come. And even though Jesus had power to heal, even though Jesus could heal, only those that came got healed. Nobody that refused to come where Jesus was got healed. Not one recorded time. Did anybody get healed that sat on their laurels and didn't come? I don't know how many people I talk to and they say, "Oh, I want help." They do nothing with this book. Nothing with this book. If you don't come to God, amen, you're in trouble. He is your only hope. He is your only help. You must come to Jesus. Notice how the leper came to Jesus. Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Before he even came to Jesus, he understood his hopeless condition. This leper that came to Jesus in Mark 1 knew that he was a leper. He knew it. He wasn't trying to change the reality. He wasn't looking at his condition and saying, I think it's better than it really is. No, he knew he was a leper and he couldn't change his condition. He knew that he couldn't change his condition by any means of his own. He knew that that there was no help to his condition. There was no way that he was going to get better. He kept getting worse and worse. Every day he'd wake up and he'd check and see if he had more sores. Every day he'd wake up and try to evaluate, do I feel better today or do I feel worse? Is the burning better? Is the burning worse? Is my eyesight better? Is my eyesight worse? Is my nose a little better? Is it a little worse? How do my feet feel? Oh, it hurts to stand. Oh, I hope it gets better tomorrow. Every day as he evaluated his condition, it was a downhill spiral day after day after day after day. And he knew if there wasn't a miracle to save him, to heal him from this condition, he knew his condition was fatal and it would end in a very painful, horrible death. It would take a miracle for him to be healed. And this particular one was looking for a miracle. There's a lot of people that are in that condition. They've lost all hope, and they're not looking for a miracle. Unfortunately for them, they're going to die in that condition. But then there are others who are in this condition, spiritually speaking, with sin, and they're looking for a miracle. Their ears are open to a miracle. Their eyes are open to a miracle. Their heart is ready to throw themselves before the feet of Jesus if they could just figure out where he is. And that's where we come in. Say, I want you to know where Jesus is. Jesus is available. Jesus, I can point you to Jesus. That's what we do. We're out there in the highways and the hedges, and we're trying to discern who is open to a miracle. Who's open? Because those that aren't open can't be helped. They can't. But those that are open can be. We find that his condition was hopeless, and yet he was looking for a miracle. So when he came to Jesus, he heard of this one that was healing. And he believed. He believed that the one he's hearing of, he believed that he could heal. He besought Jesus. Can I say all the pride that this man once had was gone? He had no other options. So that when he found Jesus, he bowed before him and he begged Jesus for help. He wept and he conveyed to Jesus his lost, his sinful, his absolute disease-risen condition. When he found Jesus, there was no holding back. And he says, I know you can heal me if you will. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. Let's read this in total here, verses 41 through 45 of Mark 1. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as he had as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. The leper was healed. He did ultimately, no doubt, show the priest first. He just wanted to tell everybody what Jesus did. And I know Jesus said, hey, don't tell anybody. But it was so real. It was so good. His emotions were so overflowing that he was just healed. He couldn't help it as he went. But to open his mouth, say, look at what Jesus did for me. I worry about you Christians that don't tell anybody about what Jesus did for you. I wonder, did he do anything for you? I know this. The day he saved my soul, I'll never forget it. He changed me. And I sure do love to tell others about it. How about you? This leprous man, he came, laid everything aside, and Jesus miraculously healed him that day. And from that point on, you weren't going to stop this leper from telling others about Jesus Christ. God, help us today to consider this portion of Scripture, which tells of a leper and how this leper came and how you made him clean. And oh God, how the similarity exists between us and our condition in sin. And oh God, when we came, all the pride was moved out of the way. We didn't care what others thought at that moment. We knew we were sinners. We weren't trying to hold back. Oh God, how we just came and fell before you, dear God. And we cried out to you and said, oh God, please save us, a sinner. And you said you would, and you saved us. And God, from that very day, every one of us that have received something to the magnitude of this leper, oh God, all we've done ever since is try to tell others what you did for us, that then they also might be able to get into the miracles of Christ. God, teach us something with this scripture today. Don't even know exactly what you might use to teach everyone here, but God, I trust that you'll do a work in each of our hearts. We commit this to you and ask for your help in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.